Happy Sabbath. I wish I could say I can see all your smiling faces, but I was blinded by the light. So, we've all heard the phrase, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future, right? Scripture teaches this same principle. The people we spend time with shape who we become. Some have rightly pointed out that Jesus spent time with tax collectors, who at the time would have been a pretty despicable group of people in society in terms of they weren't well-liked, all types of sinners, even prostitutes. And even that term today, prostitute, is it's not something we talk about a lot in the church, but it's an age-old profession. But some people may or may not use Jesus' example of spending time with, let's say, sinners of all walks of life as an excuse to justify poor choices in their friendships. But I would ask, was Jesus simply hanging out with these people? Was he just socializing? Or was his purpose different? Because I think as Christians, it can be a challenge to spend time with tax collectors, sinners of all types. I won't mention all the various sins. You're all aware of the various sins in society that we have now. I think there's probably more opportunities now to sin than there was 2,000 years ago. It's certainly more readily available with technology. But how do you spend time with these people and still remain unspotted by the sin? Well, the Bible teaches that the company we keep can either draw us closer to God or pull us away. Jesus could minister to sinners without being corrupted, but we must be careful because, unlike him, we are fallible. My first point is that bad company corrupts good character. You're probably familiar with the verse there. The first one that would be 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. The second one I want to draw your attention to would be Proverbs 13, verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So that scripture has like a part one and a part two. It paints two different pictures. The one who walks with wise men for a long enough period of time will someday be considered wise. But the companion of fools, if you spend time with foolish men or foolish women or both, you'll eventually, in enough time, be destroyed. And that could mean your finances could be destroyed, your character could be destroyed, or your life could be destroyed. I know more than a couple of dozen people who have lost their lives over the decades to a series of careless or poor decisions that was usually the result of their peers and wrong influences. So your friends, the people you text, you hang out with, and confide in, they influence you more than you realize. And this is true for kids, teens, young adults, and even older adults. Older adults are not impervious to the influence of others. I've even seen people in their 70s or 80s go astray by spending time with the wrong people or following poor leaders. And in terms of when I say that your influences, the friends, the company you keep, I might reference, does anyone know who Sam Altman is? Okay, a few. He's the creator of OpenAI. ChatGPT. When he upgraded from ChatGPT-4 to release ChatGPT-5, he received a tremendous amount of backlash online and feedback many of which were young people that were very upset that ChatGPT 5 was more factual, less emotive, less personal. And they said things like, we feel like we lost our best friend, you know, because from what he said, a lot of the young people are using, were using ChatGPT 4 as like a psychiatrist, a counselor, a friend. So these kids are being shaped by their moods and their personality and their knowledge base are being shaped by a computer, by AI, which is, you ask it a question, it scrubs the entire world, all the databases for information, it gives you one back. So when I say your friends or the company you keep, that for some is now extending into AI. There's also been a lot of talk, if you're probably already aware, of AI, computers merging with metal robots and basically having relationships with AI. I know it sounds really comical, like a sci-fi movie, but 10, 15 years from now, you may see people doing that or thinking that they're doing that. So it's the company you keep, is that definition keeps expanding with our current society. A friend of mine once told me, and I'm going to mess up this, so I'm going to paraphrase it, an older gentleman. He said, basically, in the wrong environment, the wrong time, around the wrong people, given enough time, there's nothing that you won't do. And people don't typically believe that. They always want to believe they'll be the good guy. For example, like you could go back to Nazi Germany. How many of us really believe we would be like agreeing with Hitler and his final solution? No one's going to raise their hand, right? In hindsight, everyone wants to be the good guy. But at the time, Hitler had a lot of support. So people can be moved and swayed to do all kinds of things by the wrong leaders and the wrong peers. So that's exactly why Proverbs warns us. If you continually surround yourself with the wrong people, eventually you will compromise, whether in small ways or big. Typically, small compromises lead to bigger compromises until you don't recognize yourself anymore. People call that hitting rock bottom. Sometimes that can be, again, financially, it can be morally, it can be career-wise, through various vehicles. Sometimes you may repent and return to a path of righteousness. We always have that option. We can repent, turn the other way, and return to a path of righteousness. But sometimes it may lead to partial or total destruction of your life, even unto death. I personally have relatives, friends, and acquaintances, like I mentioned, over the years, that have lost their life due to repeated careless or poor decisions. But it all, if you trace it back, it usually stems from violating 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil company corrupts good habits. Just getting involved with the wrong people, the wrong person, or the wrong group of people. The Bible also gives us both sides of this truth. You can look at good company, lifting someone up. I'll use Timothy as an example. Timothy grew into a faithful minister, partially because he followed Paul. Under Paul's mentorship, he was encouraged and strengthened and taught. Timothy was able to bear the fruit for the coming kingdom, partly because he walked with a godly man. And obviously, we're going to give God the credit and the glory. But God can use men like Paul in Timothy's life or in your life to be a positive influence on other people, to lift us up, to put us on a higher path, a path of righteousness. In contrast, the Bible gives examples of bad company corrupting someone. And I had some historical or secular examples, but I'll cut them for the sake of time. So I'll just give one Bible example. Solomon, the wisest man on earth, allowed his foreign wives to turn his heart against God. So even wisdom couldn't protect him once he gave his heart to the wrong influences. Because the reality is, knowing better isn't good enough if we aren't doing better. I know better, for example, when it comes to food. If I only eat what my wife cooks me, it's all, you know, it's fresh, organic, it's healthy, vegetables, nuts, seeds. But where I get into trouble is when I'm off at lunch, you know, away from her positive influence. I might stop at Chick-fil-A, you know. There's like 53 ingredients in that chicken when there should be one or two. But, yeah, knowing better isn't good enough if we're not doing better. So how about modern cultural examples? Well, in my mind, I don't want to be a product of the modern environment. I've heard parents encourage members to do the same thing Christ did, like encourage one another to go and spend time with members of a certain community. I hate to even use the term LGBTQ and other types, because this is, you know, following Christ's example to spend time with sinners of all sorts. I could name all types. And while I agree it's our responsibility to follow Christ and his example and to help these people where we can in a wise way with a lot of discretion, there is a time and place. There's a time and place to speak up. I would encourage anyone to exercise caution regarding who you let into your home or into your life, who you spend time with, especially with your children. We tend to say children and teens are impressionable, but so are adults. And if adults aren't, then tell me why almost 100,000 adults in 1995, basically walking in the truth, quit just under the influence of a relatively small group of men. My point is that young or old, people are still vulnerable to the influence of others. People like to follow other people when we're supposed to follow Christ in God's way. Now, of course, we follow pastors, we follow our elders, we follow our elders in general. You can follow men or man as he follows Christ. But when a man stops following Christ, that's when we stop following the man. So if I'm wrong, and teens, for example, are not a product of their environment, then or not influenced by their friends, then why is it you'll see a group of, it happens all the time, maybe a conservative Baptist or Catholic or Mormon, grows up in a conservative religious household, they go off to college, and in one or two semesters they're coming back and they're spouting off and repeating all the issues of the day, right? You pick an issue, far left, woke ideology, they want to embrace that culture and become part of it. That is a result of being influenced by not just your teachers, but by your peers. Same with the military. You can send a man off to the military. I don't want to knock on the military. We've got a couple guys here that served in the military sitting front row. And they may come back after 4 years. They're organized. They're disciplined. They've learned a new skill. They've learned a trade. And that's a lot to respect. But they may have also picked up some other bad habits along the way. So you can be influenced no matter what organization you join, whether it's a school or the military, but we're to be ambassadors for Christ, setting a higher standard where we're not susceptible to every single, you know, influence of each sport or each school or each organization. Our son, Josiah, he goes to a really strict Christian school. He's just 7. And we didn't send him there just for the teachers, although they're good. We sent him there largely for the students. Now, the students obviously are trained by their parents. A lot of these parents are really conservative. They're not into technology. A lot of them live not too far from us. But we wanted him to go to a school where he's surrounded by more old-fashioned religious values instead of the whatever agenda the public school is coming out with in the last 10 years. And the reason being is we know that 1 Corinthians 15:33 is true. Evil company corrupts good habits. So how about modern sports? I won't go to any sport, but you know each sport has its own culture. You know, why is it when I was growing up, baseball players are going to chew sunflower seeds and chewing gum and tobacco, right? It's because when the guy shows up at 15, 18, the other guys are doing it, so they do it. You know, Dennis Rodman introduced tattoos to the NBA. Now everybody wants a tattoo. I won't go into all the sports, but they each have their own culture because people fall in line with the culture. But the lesson is the same in Scripture and in history. Who you walk with will determine who you become. You want to walk with God, ultimately, but find people along the way to make that walk with you, because it's certainly easier if you have a partner. My second point is that Jesus' example was different. He came with a purpose. Mark 2, verse 15 reads, Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners of all types, including prostitutes, as I mentioned earlier, but explained, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. To what? He called them to repentance, to change, to go the other way. And he came to heal and to teach about the coming kingdom of God, a better way of life. But my point is that he wasn't there to just hang out with sinners, okay? He might have been spending time with them, but he was not engaging in the activities that they were engaging in at the time. He was there to teach, to heal, and to call people to repent. And he also didn't start that ministry until he was a fully tested adult. He was incorruptible, and we are not. We fall short. So we have to be more careful spending time with certain types of people. For example, if a teen goes off to college, if they spend a lot of time with the wrong people, they're probably certainly going to compromise the values that their parents taught them for the first 18 years. Again, 1 Corinthians 15:33 applies. Evil company corrupts good habits. So even so-called small compromises can open the door to bigger ones. And some would call this a slippery slope, but that slippery slope can eventually lead to a downward spiral. My third point and last point is that the most powerful influence is your closest relationships. And that can mean different things to different people in the audience today. But I'll reference Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So, who's the person you spend the most time with? If you're a kid, if you're 7 years old, it's probably your siblings or your parents, your mom. If you're a teenager, maybe your friends. If you're a single adult, it could be a roommate or a colleague that you work with 40 hours a week. If you're married, it could be a mate. But I'm not going to show you the graph, but there's a graph that shows over like the last 100 years where people have spent their time. 50 years ago, it was most of the time was spent with family and then friends. And then in the late 90s, basically the internet popped up, and that over the last 25 years has become the number one place where people spend their time. There's an inverse relationship between the amount of time people are spending online and the closeness and connectedness they feel to their families, which is kind of sad. But the one you spend the most time with is your mate if you're married. Marriage is perhaps the clearest example of the company you keep. 1 Corinthians. If you marry someone devoted deeply to God, they will pull you in that direction. If you marry someone, however, that's obsessed with entertainment or worldliness, they're going to pull you the opposite direction. And if you've ever tried to go, let's say rock climbing, and you're at the rock climbing gym, try pulling someone up versus dragging someone down. Or if you're at the pool, you want to drag someone into the pool versus pull someone out of the pool with one hand. Is it not a lot easier to drag someone into a pool than it is to lift them up out of the pool? It's the upward slope is the harder slope. The downward slope is the easy way. That's why I like downhill mountain biking versus cross country. It's a lot easier. So, even friendships work this way. If you surround yourself with people who love to work, exercise, spend time outdoors, or live with discipline, you'll be shaped by it, literally. If you spend time with lazy or immoral people, you'll be dragged down. And the truth is, we will change. All of us will keep changing through this life, for better or worse, based on who we spend time with. And this also occurs doctrinally. People who get into, if you get into too many fringe doctrines, that can be the start of a 5 or 10 year process of changing your faith altogether and leaving leaving the ecclesia. I've seen examples of this throughout the years, and it can take years to observe the changes. They may be small and incremental, but over a 10-year period, you can see them. And I realize this is just a short sermonette. Some of you may want to tune some of this out. Some of you are tuning in. But I'm asking especially the young people to take this message to heart, especially the first scripture I referenced, Proverbs 13, verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. And I've known guys that thought that they could cheat the system and they could have their cake and eat it too. It doesn't work like that. If we live long enough, we will grow to be a living example of this scripture. We all will be. The exciting part is we get to choose which part of the scripture we want to embody, part one or part two. Do I want to walk with wise men and someday be considered wise? Or do I want to be a companion of fools and destroy not only my life, but my family's life as well? And not just my family's, but second generation and third generation and fourth generation. I want to change, I shouldn't say change my family tree, continue my family legacy that my father taught me to teach my children the way of God. And have grandkids as well, great-grandkids. I'll be long gone by then. In conclusion, Jesus was perfect and incorruptible, okay? That's why he could do a lot of the things he did and spend time with certain people teaching them. We are not. This means we must be more careful about our friendships, roommates, marriages, and influences in our lives. Jesus spent time with sinners to call them to repentance and teach them about the coming kingdom of God, right? But Proverbs and Corinthians warns us, bad company corrupts us. And this is true of people of every age. So it's an odd juxtaposition. Both history and scripture show us the right company lifts us up and the wrong company drags us down. The closest relationships in your life, especially marriage, will shape who you become. So my final scripture is Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Dark people don't shine brightly. So let us be children of light, because the company you keep is shaping your future right now. So choose wisely.